Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. And of course, today is the day that the veterans drop by, and we are so excited, as always, to have them. The Mary Griffith Show, powered each and every morning by Harvest Ridge Coffee from Refreshment Services Pepsi. I've already had one big cup. I probably need a second on this eclipse day. So let's get right to it. We have a big deal in the studio today. Oh, I didn't mean Richard Elson here. He's always a big deal. But we have another big deal here with us, Mr. Terry Prince, director of the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs. And if we just read his resume, it'd be noon, and then we wouldn't have time to talk about Veterans Affairs. So we will just introduce him by saying, is it correct to call you Director Prince? Should I refer to you by your military title? How do you want to be referred to?
Director's fine, or okay. Even Terry.
Even Terry is good? You can call me Mary. Some people call me the Queen of the Universe. I will drop that for you. Richard still has to call me that, however.
I'm fine with that.
That's fine. I know you are. That's why you're here every month. Director Terry Prince, director of the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs. Of course, you are a veteran. That makes sense. So give us just a brief synopsis of your experience in the military, if you don't mind.
Oh, thank you for having me on and a chance to speak to you this morning.
Welcome to Quincy. It's great to see you here.
I'm always excited to come to Quincy. My first visit as the director of Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs was to Quincy way back when, in April of 2021. In fact, if you were there, you would have talked to a cameraman who had to stop three times because I kept saying, I'm so proud to be here at the Quincy Veterans Home of Ohio, because I had just come from Ohio, and so it didn't flow as well as it does now. And I
you're live now, baby.
That.
No chance for overdues now.
In.
I was going to say Mantino, yeah. Or something like that. Yeah. Well, that happens, you know, as you travel around. Well, of course, you've received a lot of honors. What branch of the military did you serve in?
So I served in the Navy for
31
years.
Yes, that's the best
years.
Branch, of course. Yeah,
of
that's
course
my dad
is.
Was too. Yeah. Okay. 31 years. So, you know, it's the hardships and toughness of eating boat food.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a struggle many times. Navy Chow is very, very good. It's second probably only to the Air Force.
Well, we're glad to have you here, and thank you for your military service. And he's got a list of medals and accolades, and we might get to those a little bit later. But let's hop right into this. Quincy has a Soldiers and Sailors Home, the Illinois Veterans Home. And we're very proud of what's going on out there. I live not far from there, and every once in a while I just wander through the grounds to see if the buffalo are out or whatever. But, boy, the construction that's going on out there is exciting. Talk a little bit about why it's so important to keep investing in places like the Illinois Veterans Home of Quincy. Why put all the money into all these brand-new housing and nursing home accommodations?
Yeah, it's very important that we update our facilities. The Illinois Veterans Home at Quincy is one of the oldest homes in the country, not just here in Illinois. It's an incredible story of history and what's been going on there and the number of veterans who've been served. And as we move forward, we want to provide even bigger services for our veterans. And not just to thank them for their service, that's a given. We're very much appreciative of what veterans do and have done in their military career and their lives. But it's also a chance for us to build a facility that offers a promise of thriving in our state. The idea that I have for our veterans' homes isn't about just being a nursing home or a domiciliary or something like that. It's a place where veterans can come to heal, can come to live their best lives. It's statistically shown that veterans that live in a veterans' home live much longer than they do in a typical nursing home. And it's mostly because of the love that they receive from an incredible staff of people who are dedicated to doing that very thing, thanking them for their service through their everyday actions. So building this fabulous facility right here in Quincy is a testament to the people of this city and this community that have said, hey, we are wrapping our arms around our veterans. The state of Illinois, Governor Pritzker, and the entire administration who has said, this is how important veterans are to us, and we're going to invest this money in that to show them our true appreciation for their service.
Well, we're so glad we had extra space available, because I think there was some talk that the Illinois Veterans Home might go to a new location somewhere besides Quincy. Of course, we were adamant that we wanted it here. It's a great economic boost to our community. Many people rely on its services. Of course, you do get people from all over the state of Illinois, not just our Western Illinois region that live there. But we're so glad that the state of Illinois made that investment to keep that in Quincy and to keep upgrading that. That is so critically important. Another, I think, big investment has happened. Best Buy went out of business, but that opened up a big box that could become a VA clinic here in Quincy. Now, of course, it's not going to have the full panoply of services like available in Iowa City or Chicago or Columbia. Some people are still going to have to travel to another VA center, but it does provide a level of care that maybe previously wasn't available here, and I'd like you to talk about that a little bit.
Well, to the listeners, I'm not as familiar with what the potential for the federal VA is building in the area, but I can tell you this. This area is exploding in veteran growth. It's a very popular place to live. And the idea by having these clinics in the area is all about prevention. The idea that veterans can get care before things become a problem, it keeps them from having to drive to the bigger medical centers or for the bigger appointments and things like that, is exactly why I want the VA to invest in this community and others, to ensure that veterans have access to primary care resources, because I'd rather have them go get it here than wait for something to happen.
Well, and you just brought up a fact that made me realize I made an important mistake. I always say I don't want to do too much prep work because I don't want to know the answers or I won't ask the right questions. And you just made it very clear. The Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs is different than the federal Department of Veterans Affairs. And while you're very familiar with what goes on North 12th Street, what happens out there at Prairie Crossing is a federal, that's the federal government, but still available for our local veterans, which everybody cares about. So that is one distinction. It seems to me that we care about our veterans so much, we not only have a federal agency to look after them, but we have a little bit of a redundancy in that we have a state agency looking after them as well. So let's get right into some of the problems that veterans have. Certainly here in the Quincy area, one of the problems, no matter how many beds you build out there new on North 12th Street, there always will be limited capacity. I remember when my father needed nursing home care, we called out to the veterans home and they said, oh, he'd be number 47 on the waiting list. And fortunately, we were able to find, you know, other accommodations. You can't accommodate everybody. And so, you know, is it important to try to get your name on some kind of list, or is there a list, or how do you determine who gets to go in out at the Quincy Veterans Home?
Yeah, that's such a great question because it is an unbelievable benefit, first of all, financially.
Yes, very inexpensive.
And you have a team of people with such dedication to what they do, as we talked about earlier. We do have waiting lists at all of our veterans homes across the state for those reasons. And the waiting list works something along these lines. There's a wartime and a peacetime. There's priority given to wartime veterans. Those have served in combat or during wartime for obvious reasons. One of the biggest struggles we have is we, like you, want to fill up our veterans homes. We want as many people living in there as possible. It's a staffing concern. We're finding ourselves competing against local businesses and other areas that are also hiring people to work in different positions. We offer an incredible benefit package, unlike anybody. The average employee at one of our veterans homes, a union employee, makes about $40,000 more in pay and benefits than their counterpart in the civilian community. We also offer the honor, the courage, the commitment, the opportunity to serve Illinois veterans who've served their state in a campus that is showing our staff, look, we are committed to this organization. Look at what we're building right around the corner here. And so it is important for families to reach out early to touch base with the administration team, the adjutant and others at the veterans home, to understand what's available, and also while working with hopefully their USVA care or case manager, who will also offer opportunities for placement in different nursing homes and things of that nature. We want everybody at the veterans home here in Quincy, but you recognize, as most people do, that's a goal to have. We just have to have the staff to do it.
Let's talk about that staff issue then. I mean, you're leading me beautifully. I mean, it's just flowing, the questions that are coming to mind, because I have several friends who've retired after working at the Illinois Veterans Home, and they loved working there. They really did. And I think it's a different work environment than some other places. But we are struggling because we don't have enough RNs. We don't have enough LPNs. It's not that nobody wants to work at the Illinois Veterans Home. It's the competition for those warm bodies that are going to take care of people in the medical profession. It's really difficult. Is that one of your struggles? Is that one of the major things that as a director you have to worry about, is how are we going to attract enough staff to keep our homes manned and to keep that quality of care to where it is the excellent standard we need? And what's going to take to make it change?
Yeah, there's been a mass exodus from the nursing field in general across our country, combined with a lot of contracted nursing opportunities. And one thing that keeps me up at night, and people are often surprised when I say that, it isn't the care that's provided. I don't worry about the care. Very confident in our team. What keeps me up at night is, how do I keep my employees, our employees, motivated, excited, and engaged at what they do? How do I reward them for the work that they do every single day that we don't see? The overtime, the mandation, the things that, you know, are often assumed, I don't take those for granted. I have been on the phone calls on both sides of this to listen to a person being told they're going to have to stay for four more hours. What differentiates an IDVA employee from many is that they say, I don't want to leave my veteran. I'll stay to take care of my veteran. And so we are using, that is the idea behind this, is job fairs are important. There's a lot of opportunity. But the biggest thing as a director that I try to get into the minds of our team, our managers and others, is word of mouth. If a person loves where they work, they're going to tell someone else about it and so on and so forth. And those folks will come and work with us because their friends love it as much as we would want them to be there.
The director of the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs, Terry Prince, is my guest today. And, of course, I'll have to push back a little bit on what you just said. Yes, it's a lovely place to work until I'm in mandated overtime, you know, and working 6 days, 12-hour, shifts. That is where the Veterans Home has gotten in trouble. And there have been pickets, and there have been things in the past, and there's been very vocal outcry from the workforce that, you're putting us in an untenable situation. Of course, we care about these people. We're never going to just, don't care what happens to you, I'm leaving. But when I miss my kid's birthday party, now I've got a real emotional struggle. And so there's not much you can do to add more to the staff if those people aren't available. So the only thing you can do then is cut down on the number of people you take in. And so ironically, we have more capacity, I'm sure, than we have. We have more beds than we can fill the beds. It's simply a matter of not having enough staff. So here's the part I don't get. Why doesn't the state of Illinois then offer some kind of free college education program to somebody who becomes a nurse or somebody who becomes an LPN? Why don't you tell people, just like in the military, you know, if you'll come and learn this skill, then we'll own you for 4 to 6 years. But, you know, after that, you're free to go over wherever you want. If they like where they are, they'll probably stay. Is anything like that available?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's been a dramatic shift in the way that we've hired employees, and we're working closely with state elected officials, Central Management Services, which is the arm of administrative support, to offer some of those. I've got a senior home administrator who had worked at the Anna Veterans Home, who's working on an in-house training program, just as you described. A person wants to learn how to be a nurse aide. We want them to come and learn at the Veterans Home, and we'll pay them their salary. We want to be able to do these things. It's just taking a little bit longer than I expected it to, because we're also working with community colleges and others who already have training programs. And so that can be challenging in its own right, and then attracting people into the field. Not just through a benefits package, but through a, how much do I love my job? Is this a fun place to work? You said it exactly. I look at it from an aspect of, yes, I see them. I hear that. I know what goes into the physician. That's why we haven't filled the beds, because we want to balance their lifestyle. I mean, a state employee gets a number of days off and all these things. We want them to be able to take advantage of it. We're very proud of our union partners for working with us. And Governor Pritzker most recently signed the contract that offered nearly $700 million increase in pay and training opportunities for our union employees. And part of that includes, Mary, is the upward mobility program that the union has. We have a number of our personnel who are in nursing school, working their way through and adjusting their schedule and working at the veterans' home so they can have that opportunity. Because I believe in that as well. I mean, started my military career as an E-1 and finished as an E-9, and it was great to have those opportunities to move up in the organization, not always have to spend my own money and time to do it.
That's one of the great things about being in the military. They teach you a skill. 9:33 our time. We'll take a break. When we come back, more conversation about what our veterans are getting and what more they need with the director of the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs, Terry Prince. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. My guest today is Terry Prince, the director of the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs. So glad to have you in Quincy when you can stop by the studio, because usually when people, bigwigs are here, they're always out at some press conference site. So I'm glad Richard Elsenpeter was able to corral you on this Eclipse Day. Let's talk a little bit about homeless veterans, unemployed veterans, and those that have mental illnesses that are probably somewhat related to their service. Unemployed and homeless don't necessarily go hand in hand, but if you're unemployed for long enough, you'll become homeless. Also, mental disability doesn't necessarily go with homelessness, but one of the big barriers to getting people that are homeless housed is they have a mental health issue that hinders them from wanting to comply with what a group or a home apartment setting would be. So you're well aware of these problems. You're well aware that it's all across the state of Illinois. But what can you say about Western Illinois, and what can you say about what the state is doing to help alleviate this problem?
It's from a homelessness perspective, I'm a part of the governor's challenge on suicide, but also a part of the homeless board. And what we're doing is working with communities and counties to eliminate veteran homelessness at the county level. And what I mean by that is veteran homelessness is a combination of multiple factors. It isn't just service. It isn't just this. There's many things that are going on. And Richard and I were talking about this earlier, about when you come into a community, you're not with your unit anymore. You are now kind of on your own. There's a lot of people who want to help you, but they're not quite sure how to get into that person's head, no pun intended. And so working with the community, the VAC, the veteran service organizations, the employers and others, the landlords, and so on and so forth, to wrap ourselves around the veteran and say, we're going to provide a full holistic approach to it. Instead of just solving for X, like I give you a place to live, that's not enough, right? There has to be wraparound services, as I said. Enrolling them in health care, whether it's VA or private health care, statistics have shown that veterans who are enrolled in VA health care and mental health care are 70% less likely to die by suicide than those that aren't. And making sure that they understand the importance of it. I've often had veterans who are on medication or getting therapy say, well, I don't really need to take it anymore. I feel better. And it's like, yes, because you're getting therapy or you're taking a medication.
I've talked personally about my own struggles with depression and stuff. And remember the first time I went to get my prescription filled, and it was some astronomical amount of money. I said, you understand I'm depressed, right? And boy, I tell you what, months later, I went to get that refill. I'm like, I don't care what it costs. Give me the happy little blue pill. I love it. And so you do, though, think, well, gee whiz, I haven't had a depressive episode now for months. You can't stop taking your medicine, and that's why I have to be monitored. But, you know, it is. It's hard because medication, your blood pressure gets in, or your diabetes gets in check, or your depression gets in check, and you're like, well, I feel great. and then you start to neglect your health again. So, and men, no offense, are a little bit worse about taking care of themselves sometimes without maybe, especially single men, without a woman to nag them constantly. So what can be done, though? I mean, you're trying to find these people. I know Richard has got all kinds of services are available here. It's not a lack of services. It's a lack of getting them integrated into the services. So how would you do that? How do you do that?
Well, from a state level, it is building trust. We were talking earlier before the interview. There's over 2,000 organizations that serve veterans in some way, shape, or form. When you're a service member and you're on a base or in a unit, as Richard mentioned earlier, you say, I have a problem, and the gears of the unit go to work to solve the problem. But there's also a lot of responsibility put on the person to let us know what the issue is. I would ask any veteran that's out there struggling to please come forward and tell us what's going on. Oftentimes, you said it best, whether it's taking care of yourself physically or mentally, we don't want to ask for help. We know what we want to do. We know this. We just need someone to kind of help push us along the way. And so my job as the Veterans Affairs Director for the state, there aren't enough people in my organization alone to solve this issue. But I take this so seriously, Mary, and I would tell you why, because I believe that every missed opportunity that's there, if we don't grab it and fix it, that's exactly what can lead to veteran suicide. As they say, every nail in the wood leaves a scar. And so we have to be outgoing. We have to find them. Historically, it was, if you come to us, we'll serve you. Come to my office and I'll take care of you. We have to go to where the veterans are. We have to go to the sporting events, to the local veteran service organizations and other places where veterans sit and say, have you received this service? Recognizing that most people that get out of the military have a good job. They make on average anywhere from over $60,000 a year. And so I also work with DOD and help them, and they've been doing great things with what's called SkillBridge and others to help veterans land a good job. You may not know this, but the period between the time that a person gets out and they get their first job is the transition period, is the most dangerous time in the life of a veteran.
Because they've been told what to do.
Exactly. I mean, most of them work until the very day that their enlistment is up, and then you find yourself outside the front gate.
And suddenly Revelry doesn't play the next morning, and you're like, well, exactly. Now what do I do? What's for? I have to cook my own breakfast?
So
I just don't go to the chow hall?
Yeah. I had 31 years in the Navy. My landing of the plane was a lot different. A lot of our service members is more like a helicopter, just straight down. It's like, okay, get out. And it can be very, very overwhelming.
Yeah. And that's a good analogy, and we'll talk a little bit more when we come back. We have to take a break, head up to the URSA Farmers Cooperative, see what's happening with our farm markets today. It is 9:43. Stay tuned. Terry Prince, Director of the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs, is my guest today. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. We have solved almost all the problems of the world during that short commercial break, but there are still a few more to discuss. Terry Prince is my guest today with the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs. He's the director of the whole shoot and match. And so there's an interesting aspect about state jobs in Illinois, in any state. When a Republican's in office, most of the directors are Republicans. When a Democrat's in office, most of the directors are Democrats, or at least lean that way. It's not always true. I know our great director of the Illinois Veterans Home, Hap Northern, I think he survived a few Democratic things. You know, it's not always you have to have the D or the R after your name. But definitely politics comes into play when you're fighting for money. I thought there was always an irony that we always say we want to treat our veterans the best. We want our veterans to have the best, everything the best for the veterans. And yet we have seen at the federal level some real horror stories, not recently, but, you know, 10 years ago about VA hospitals. We've seen a deterioration at our Illinois Veterans Home until it got so bad that the state said, no, we're going to build a new veterans home. How hard is it to get the legislature to fund the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs, because as wonderful as you are competing against school children and seniors who need health care and every other, you know, road system. So talk a little bit about the politics of your job. How much begging do you have to do?
Well, this might be a little disappointing to the audience because it's actually really simple. I have had such a wonderful relationship with our elected officials on both sides of the aisle. When I was appointed by the governor, I was appointed because I'm a 31-year Navy veteran who was kind of doing this work already at the Ohio Veterans Home. And I have had wonderful relationships. Senator Tracy, Representative Freeze, they're regulars on my call list. If there's an issue at the Quincy Veterans Home, I would typically give them a call, or our ledge liaison would reach out. Our agencies received the largest budgets had the last 3 years successively. In fact, I just testified to the representatives just a couple weeks back for our new budget. And so they have been so supportive of our efforts because I believe that the legislators like what they see. They like the idea that we're open and honest and we're accessible. I'm a big believer in that. What drives me in the budget sense isn't about more money or more of this or more of that. It's about access and making sure that we are here to deliver on that promise mm-hmm. of serving those who served, and that it isn't just, I need more money so I can do this. I go through the experience of what is it like when someone answers the phone versus when they don't answer the phone, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, it's important. And again, you know, I think that everybody wants to be helpful. It's just like anything else. Everybody wants, there's always a need, and there's really no unnecessary need. That's why it's a need. There are very few wants in state government, at least in this day and age. And so that is a big change. How do you come out of any, okay, this is a strange question. Well, not strange, but tell us a little bit about your Navy career. Were you in any profession that had a medical aspect to it? So you are running a nursing home or a series of nursing homes that men with other administrative things is not completely foreign to you. What you do in the Navy?
Yeah, that's such a great question that people will be surprised. I mean, I'm 6'8" and I was a dental assistant when I first joined the Navy.
Okay.
For the first 12 years, in fact, the first 6 years of my career, I worked at the chair side with dentists doing patient care. And so I come from a world of the people who don't like going to the dentist. And so how do I make them comfortable? How do I get them excited about their dental care? And then I became a hospital corpsman when I was on the USS Iwo Jima, when our ratings were merged. And I've worked at military hospitals around the world, including Walter Reed Bethesda, and then retired as the Navy Medicine Force Master Chief. And so I've been involved with medical my entire career. But it's moreover, I've been able to see the best and the worst that's out there. And so being able to bring that here and say, look, I'm not just a person appointed a job. I'm a veteran with healthcare experiences. This is what I want to see in the interactions between our staff and our patients and our veterans. Because I've been there. I know what it looks like.
Well, no wonder you've got such good teeth. Now I've figured out the answer to that. That sounds good. 6'8", you can't serve on a submarine.
No,
can you?
I actually wanted to join the Army when I first went in, and I was told I was too tall to fly helicopters, but I was okay to be in tanks. And I just thought that was a little confusing, so then I left and joined the Navy after that. But yeah, 6'8", I was never going to be in a submarine.
Well, that's probably good.
Yeah.
Very closed quarters down there. Plus, I mean, I imagine if you go on one of those underwater around the world tours, you've got everybody's teeth fixed by the time you get back. So
let's just say when I was on the USS Iwo Jima, I was the only person who cheered when we went to the desert because I was able to stand up straight and get off that ship.
I love it. What are the biggest challenges you see for veterans ahead and for the state of Illinois as it moves forward? Do we need another veterans home? What do we need? What's the biggest challenge you think in the 5, 10-year, 15-year outlook as a whole new group of veterans? You know, face it, World War II's gone, Korea's all but gone, even Vietnam. Those guys are, you know, they're soon to be gone, sadly. But there's a whole new group of veterans that are a different kind of veteran, saw a different kind of warfare. What's the biggest challenge?
Yeah, the biggest challenge is coordinating the support and services that are out there. The Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs is a major player, a major cog in the machine of veteran support, but there are thousands of organizations that are serving veterans, and how do I make it easier for the veteran to navigate who's come out of a system where it is easily navigatable? Everything is right there, everything you need is right there, and often walking into systems where you're still filling out a piece of paper or you're still having to make a phone call. I want veteran services to be as simple as going onto Amazon and ordering products, where the veterans in this that are coming out now, they don't want to have to go sit in front of someone. They just want to get the services done.
So more telemedicine type things?
I would say telemedicine. That's a big one. But also, I want veterans to understand that it's so very important for our veterans who are putting in for VA disability and compensation to go through a professionally trained veteran service officer. Because if it's not done correctly, it already takes some time to get your case through the system. But if it's not done correctly, you can go into a phase where you're asking for an appeal. And on average, the appeal takes anywhere from 400 to 700 days. Now, I don't know about you, and I'm not a math wizard, but that's almost 2 years.
And if you are without benefits for 2 years and without any kind of financial help for 2 years, unless you have a family that can support you, hoping that check will eventually come, you are sunk.
Yes, it's very important to work through all of that to make sure that you're in the system and that you're getting the support of a County Veterans Assistance Commission, an IDVA VSO, veteran service organizations similar, such as the VFW, American Legion. All of these people are out there. The challenge moving forward is having everyone work together. We were just chatting about this outside and making sure that we're not in competition with each other. There is more than enough work to go around, and this generation of veteran who's expected and has lived, many of them have lived their entire lives being able to access information on their phones. I need to be able to make it easy for them to get that information and then put that information into something that works for them.
It has been wonderful having you here. I always want to give Richard a chance because I know, Richard, there's a few things you always want to plug, and we don't want to leave you out. Thank you very much for bringing these high-caliber people to my WTAD studio.
And I am perfectly all right. I know when to shut up. And when the conversation is going along so well and we're getting so much great information, I am perfectly fine with not saying a darn thing. So.
Well, we are running a promotion about something that you're looking for, and that is to honor some veterans.
Well, and not necessarily veterans themselves, but one of the things we want to do is reach out. There are so many great businesses, corporations, industries in the Quincy, Adams County, Tri-State area that are there to support and help our veterans.
And hire them.
So what we want to do is go ahead and thank those businesses for the work that they're doing. So we have come up with the idea of doing a Veterans Choice Award program. So if you know a company, if you work with an industry, if you work at a facility that support veterans, hire veterans, take care of the military, honor the military and their families, we are simply saying, let us know. Let us know, nominate these businesses, and it's simply telling us who they are, what they've done, how they've done it, and let us know. And we want to reach out to them and then give them a plaque and saying thank you very much for your support of our military and our veterans. And then also to be able to give them, for every military veteran that they hired or have on staff, we want to give them a thank you card and one of our challenge coins for each one of their veterans. And that's just simply our way of the veterans reaching out to the community. And let me rephrase that a little bit, is way of connecting the veterans with the community and the community with the veterans, and just simply saying thank you for what you do for the veterans within our area.
One thing I've noticed, and we're almost out of time, I was at a banquet Saturday night, Friends of the NRA, and they asked everyone who was a veteran to stand, and they also asked everyone who was in law enforcement or first responder then to stand as well, you know, and those veterans got a rousing, you know, round of applause. And as we all know, fewer and fewer people are going into the military. I mean, when my dad went into World War II, everybody went into the military. I mean, you just had to. It was expected of you to, you know, to fight the Nazi horde or the Japanese threat or whatever. But now, 1% of people are going into the military. And so their traditions are still as great and as strong, but there aren't as many people to share all of that with. So it's very critically important that we regular folk never forget how important the U.S. military is to our freedoms every day. So that's one of the reasons why I have you on every month, because there are so many people now who say, I don't know anybody who serves, not right now. I may know somebody who has served, but I don't know anybody who's serving right now in the military. And in a way, that's good. I mean, we're not in a major war. We're not, you know, in a place where people are being conscripted. You know, that there's some goodness to that. But it also means that a whole generation of people is growing up not really understanding a sacrifice that might be had. So thank you very much. And again, Terry Prince, thank you for your service. And Richard, thank you, and keep us in touch, and we'll see you next month, okay?
I look forward to it. Thank you for the time, Mary.